Dear brothers and sisters, as we heard in the opening prayer, today begins our campaign of Christian service. A time of discipline, a time of rigor, a time of seriousness in our Catholic faith. And it is a time, I think, in particular, among other themes, to focus on apology. Apology. As we hear today in the second reading, we are as ambassadors for Christ begging you to be reconciled to God. I did a study of various languages and different words with numerous syllables in them. And I used AI to do it. And after I was done, I found that there are five words that are the most difficult words to pronounce in any language on earth. Do you want to hear what those five words are? I'm going to have to loosen my tongue to do them. You want to hear what those five words are? The first three are, hold on, I was wrong. And the last two are, I'm sorry. It is amazing to me that especially when it comes to spouses or best friends or loved ones, I'm not the only one who loses my voice when it comes time to say, I was wrong and I'm sorry. I was wrong. I'm sorry. I know so many times in the confessional, I hear not that. I hear instead, I was having a bad day, or I was just in a weird place in my life, or I had things going on, or I'm only human, or it's natural. I was wrong. I'm sorry. I was wrong. I'm sorry. And I know that those words can feel very scary sometimes, especially when it's in a relationship with somebody that we're close to, and we feel that by saying I was wrong and I'm sorry, we give them power over us or we lose some kind of step in the struggle. But today is a good day to start with God and also turn to our family and to our friends and to our loved ones and have the courage to say, I was wrong. I'm sorry. Part of saying I'm sorry, part of the things that are essential to practicing the Christian life, is that we never, ever, ever get off the hook with an empty apology. I hope this hasn't happened to you, but I know the human condition, so I assume it has. This is not a time to raise your hand. Okay. But has it ever happened to you that someone told you they were so very sorry, and then they didn't even try to do anything different? Sometimes people think that's how, people who are not Catholic, think that's how confession works. That you can just come to confession and say you're sorry and you don't ever have to change. This is radically not the case. It's not the case in anything in our relationship with God. There is no time where we can repent without doing penance. There is no time where we can repent and it have no concrete effect in our lives. There is no time when we can say, I'm sorry, but nothing changes. And we don't even try to change anything. That doesn't work. Our God is the God of truth. He's no fan of false apologies. And that's why it is central to the Christian life, not just to say I was wrong and I'm sorry, but also to do real, concrete, actual penance. Today in the Gospel, we hear Jesus say two things, and normally we only hear one. He says, do not perform righteous deeds in order that people may see them. Right? And then he goes through a list of three of them. It's very clear. If you're doing this just to be seen, if your intention is just to be seen, you've earned nothing. Right? But then he also says this. Notice, he does not say, if you give alms, if you pray, if you fast. He didn't say that at all. What did he say? When you give alms, when you pray, when you fast, it's required that we do those three things. Jesus doesn't even entertain the option of us not doing them. When you give alms, when you pray, when you fast, make sure that you're doing it for the right reasons. A lot of people here don't do it for the wrong reasons, which means don't do it. That's not how that works at all. Right? So what are the right reasons? As I was thinking this morning, I came up with three that I think will be helpful. And I didn't invent these. They're there. The first is what's known as asceticism, which is a Greek word for training, like athletic training. We do penance. We give up things like sweets or Coke, or we wake up earlier in the morning, or we spend time reading. We do penance to train ourselves not to sin. It's training. St. Teresa of Avila famously used to keep a pear on her desk, and she would just watch it rot, and then she'd throw it out and put another pear on her desk. And her sisters, my mother, why are you doing this? Because I love pears. And if I can't say no to a pear, how could I ever say no to sin? Right? She trained herself in the discipline of saying no, of not letting her impulse become her choice like that. And so there's a training that takes place in penance. The second is in making satisfaction. And this is the kind of penance you get after you come to confession. In making satisfaction. We can't say we're sorry for something if we don't try to make it up. Especially if it's something big. Now, it may be something unfixable, but we still try to fix it. You want proof of this? I want you to think about a husband, any husband, just any random husband, not that any husband here would ever fit this bill. I know that no husbands here have ever upset their wives in any way whatsoever. Okay. But imagine a husband who does something really wrong, like, you know, completely whiffs on an anniversary or something like that. And his wife is very angry. Now, can the husband go back in time and make that up? He cannot. But will he be washing the dishes and taking out the garbage and doing all this other stuff for the next week? You bet he will, right? To make it up, to try and repair the breach that was made, and that's making satisfaction. There's a last motive for penance that St. Paul teaches us and seems clear in the New Testament, and that is a combination of the two that I've said already, but it's deeper, it's more intense, and I wish we understood more that this is one of our great weapons. It's to do penance, to be free from sinning. Not just to train ourselves not to sin, not just to make up for the sins we've done, but if we know that there is a tyranny of sin in our lives, if there's a sinful habit that we have, if there's something that enthralls us, that we do greater, harder, sharper penance to break that, to rebel against the power of darkness, to overthrow the tyranny of Satan. For long centuries, Christians knew that penance was our great weapon against evil. I remember always my dear spiritual father, Father Fred Miller, who's gone on to his reward, told us when we were at Ars by the curate R, and he said, Jean Vianney lived on rotten potatoes every day. We don't eat a third croissant and we think we're equal to the martyrs. The truth must be somewhere in between. And the reality is we think that we'll gain eternal glory from minimum effort. that will get a crown for convenience. Sometimes people come to me and they say, Father, I can't stop sinning. What have you done? What have you done to try and stop? I want to stop. Cool. What have you done? Have you fasted? Have you prayed? Have you taken cold showers? Have you slept on the floor? Have you worked at soup kitchens? What have you concretely done to break this habit? I said a Hail Mary. Well, Our Lady is very powerful. Okay. But the reality is, the measure with which we measure will be measured out to us. Right? If we're struggling really hard with a sin, we don't ever want to do anything sinful in turn. We don't want to ever be immoderate or crazy or nuts. But sometimes it takes real effort to overthrow the tyranny of sin. And that's what Lent is for, dear brothers and sisters. That's what Lent is for. To say, I was wrong. I'm sorry. To train myself not to sin, to make satisfaction for the sins that I have committed, and to rise up in faith, hope, and love with discipline to overthrow the sins that enthrall me. God bless you all.